We're turning in God's word to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want us to consider this evening a little bit about the theme of the blood. And that's certainly an important theme in the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, it is a preeminent theme because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And therefore, we're coming to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we want to read from verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. Let's unite our hearts together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for the privilege of bowing before thee with this open word. We come to sit at Jesus' feet. We come to listen to his voice speak to our hearts. Oh Lord, take away all distractions, we pray. Take away thoughts, Lord, that are not appropriate at this time. Cause us to think on higher things, on spiritual things. Be glorified in what we say. In this message, we ask, O Lord, that you'll lead our thoughts and guide our heart. And I do pray, Lord, it will be a word in season for each one who would listen online. I pray, O Lord, that tonight you will speak and save precious souls for whom Christ has died. And I do pray to this end that you'll empty me of self and sin, and fill me with thy Holy Spirit, that I may bring glory and honour to thy name, a word of salvation to weary souls, and a word of encouragement to thy dear children. Bless us, we pray. Close us in with thyself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. We can never overemphasize the importance of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a crimson line that runs through Scripture. That is the bloodline that points us to the person and to the work of the Savior upon the cross for sinners. This is a wonderful work that's been done by our Savior. A marvelous salvation is ours. And those who come and trust in Christ also will join in this salvation. The hymns about the blood lift the believer's heart to think about wonderful things, to think about holy things, to think about the very one who died for them. And as he or she realizes and thinks about the theme of the blood, then I believe there is a praise within the heart that's very unique to the child of God. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. I'm depending on the blood. The blood shall never lose its power. Wash me, O Lamb of God. Wash me in the blood, and I shall be whiter than snow. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope for sinners. His blood shed on the cross of Calvary is the only thing that gives us a right standing before God. The only plea that prevails before the throne of God is indeed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other blood can save. No other blood can give us that standing. No other blood can get us into heaven but the blood of the Lamb. And therefore tonight I want us to think about the blood using three very simple titles, but three very important titles. And I trust that tonight, if you're saved, this will bring great blessing and comfort to your soul. If you're not saved tonight, I pray that the Lord open your eyes to show you that you need to be saved. This is the only way to be saved, and that even tonight, now, is the time and the day of salvation. First of all, we've read about the precious blood there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And therefore, you want to think for a few moments about the precious blood. Precious. Now, the blood is precious because of its description. And if you look with me in verse number 19, it's called the blood of Christ. Now, the title used for our Saviour in this verse is Christ. And that reminds us that he is the Messiah. And that's the Old Testament name that correlates with the New Testament name of Christ. He is the promised one in the Old Testament. You see, there's no doubt about it, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God who came in the flesh to save his people with his own blood that he shed for them at Calvary. Now, there are various pictures of this in the Old Testament, and there are various times that we can look and see that the foreshadowing of Christ's coming. One, I suppose, of the most obvious is the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus in the chapter number 12. And on the night of that Passover, on the night whenever the angel of death was going to visit the homes there in Egypt, there was a lamb that was slain, and the blood was collected and placed upon the doorposts and the lintel of the doors. And when the death angel came that evening through Egypt, every home that had the blood upon the door was safe from the threat of death. But every home that had not the blood, no sign of the blood, no sign of death, then death entered into that home and took the firstborn. And you know, that reminds us that in the New Testament, the Lamb of God, as he is identified in John's Gospel, chapter 1, was slain for us. And his blood is applied to the heart of all who believe, and therefore that means they're marked by the blood, or they're under the blood. And on the day of judgment, whenever God looks upon us, if the blood is applied, if the blood is on our lives, if we're saved by that blood, then there's nothing to fear. We will not face eternal death and hell. We will not face the second death, but rather we will know eternal life. But for those who stand before God with no blood, no covering, no evidence of salvation, then they will face death in hell. That death is not an annihilation, but rather an eternal punishment. An eternal punishment of the wrath of God in the place of the damned. We read about the lamb before its shears is dumb. In Isaiah, and we read about that lamb being taken and being bruised and afflicted for his people. Interestingly, in Isaiah 59, verse 20, it says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." And therefore, the Old Testament speaks of one who was coming. He was coming as a redeemer. He was coming to shed his blood. He was coming as a lamb. He was coming to be afflicted for the sins of his people. And it is the blood of Christ that this is pointing towards. And therefore, the blood of Christ, being the Son of God, is innocent blood. It's the blood of the holy God-man. You see, on the shedding of his precious blood in Calvary, he provided a perfect and complete salvation, his life for mine. No other could take my place, suffer the wrath of God, suffer the judgment for sin. No other could take my place because they all are sinners. There's only one perfect man. There's only one holy person. There's only one who's worthy to stand in the place of the sinner and satisfy the wrath of God. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for mine. And what makes the blood precious is that the blood of Christ, applied to my life by faith, gives me an acceptance before God. There is no other way to come before God and be welcomed, to be received, to be accepted, to bring pleasure to him, in time or in eternity, but through the blood. Friend, you cannot approach God unless it's through the blood. Thomas Watson, the old Puritan, said, "As the merit of Christ's blood pacifies God, so the virtues of it purifies us." We stand clean and pure and accepted before God only because of the blood of Christ. There's a lovely hymn in our hymn book, and the opening lines are, "No more veil, God bids me enter by the new and living way." And the picture is very clear, that at Calvary the veil was rent in two, and that through the work of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ has removed the barrier of sin and bids us to come. And those who turn from their sin and trust in him, there's no barrier between God and man, but there is a perfect welcome. In that hymn it says, "In the robes of spotless whiteness, with the blood of priceless worth, he has gone into that brightness, Christ rejected from the earth. Christ accepted there on high, and in him do I draw nigh. All the worth I have before him is the value of the blood. I present when I adore him, Christ the first fruits unto God. Him with joy doth God behold, and thus is my acceptance told." Isn't it wonderful to be able to think upon this theme, that when I come in Christ, I welcomed. And friend, it's precious blood because of its description. It is the blood of Christ. But it's also precious blood because of its deliverance. And you'll notice there, it says that ye were not redeemed in verse number 18 with corruptible things, and then down to verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. And the redemption of man's soul was not with silver and gold, or with anything that will pass away, but rather with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to be redeemed means to be liberated or freed from bondage or oppression by the payment of a ransom. In Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now, the reality is, if you're not saved, then you are in the hand of the enemy, in the hand of Satan, and in the grip of sin. But Jesus is the Christian's redeemer, and he sets the sinner free. And it's through the blood shed on Calvary. He has set us free from the curse of the law. He has set us free from the bondage of sin. He has set us free from the authority of Satan, because we are now under his authority. Having now been set free, we belong to him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, we read these words, "What? Know ye not, dear Christian, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price," or redeemed. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 7, 23, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not yet the servants of sin." And the result of redemption through the blood is that you are saved from sin, and that the Spirit of God now dwells within. And therefore there's an obligation upon each believer to live a life that brings glory to the Lord, to their Redeemer, that honours him. In fact, that's actually the theme in 1 Peter chapter 1, because if you look at verse number 16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Verse 15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And the Lord has saved you to deliver you from hell, praise God, and to deliver you from the bondage of sin, praise God, but also to live unto him, to live in holiness, to live a life that glorifies him. Do we do that perfectly? No, we don't, and we can't. But we certainly strive after holiness. We should be growing in holiness, growing more like our Savior every single day. And that's what this is reminding us of. Remember, you're saved by the blood. Remember, Christ has died for you, and therefore you ought to be holy. And therefore the blood is precious because of the description. It's the blood of Christ. Because of the deliverance, it is the blood of redemption, but also because of its display. And I tell you, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, we can say with the words of Scripture, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The love of God was manifested toward us in that Christ died for us. This is the love of God. You see, there are many people think that, well, if God loves me, then that means that God loves me no matter what, and I can do whatever I want, and in my sin, and as a sinner, that love just is God smiling at me as I go about my sinful life without him. Friend, that's not what the love of God is. The love of God is such that the heart of God was moved to see man and woman in sin, and he went to the cross today to free them from their sin. God's love is saving you from a sinful lifestyle, not smiling as you continue in it. Make no mistake about it tonight. The smile of God is not upon the ungodly. It's not upon the sinner tonight. God isn't pleased with their actions. God doesn't delight in their wickedness. But praise the Lord when that sinner comes to Jesus and ask the Lord to save them and wash them and make them clean in his precious blood. Then the smile of God is upon us. Then the wrath of God is removed from us. That's love. That's love. There's some people, and they seek to say, well, if God is a God of love, then he loved me in my sin. No, he died for you to save you from your sin. And the work of Christ on Calvary, his suffering, his sacrifice, his shedding of his precious blood, was a display of love. Love that seeks for our best. Love that said, I'll go and die for them. There's a beautiful song that I was thinking about it this week as I was preparing for this message. Why did Jesus give up heaven's glory for this world of sin and misery? Why did Jesus suffer in the garden, drain the bitter cup of agony? Why did Jesus stand in Pilate's judgment hall, wear that cruel crown of thorns so patiently? Why did Jesus give his life to save me? It was love. God's wondrous love for me. Why does Jesus lift me when I stumble? Take my hand whene'er I go astray. Give the strength I need for each tomorrow. Grace to face the trials of the day. Why did Jesus share the load I cannot bear? Fill my soul with peace and joy beyond degree. And why does Jesus watch o'er me and keep me? It was love, God's wondrous love to me. How can you walk past the love of God? How can you walk past Calvary? Friend, your sin grieves the Lord. The anger of the Lord is upon the sinner. And you're just a heartbeat from a lost eternity in hell. And yet there's one who loves you. One who calls to you to come. To be saved in the precious blood that he shed. You know, the word precious is often used to describe many things in this world. But they will pass away. The precious blood is the eternal work of God. It will not pass away, and praise God, it cannot fail. And then we turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. And we've thought here about the precious blood, and now we're thinking in verse number 5 about the cleansing blood. And whenever we go to verse number 5, it says, well, let's read from verse 4. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There's 3 simple things I see in verse number 5. First of all, I see the need for cleansing. You see, it says here that he has washed us from our sins. Now, if you note who the recipients of the letter, this letter, are, you'll find that they are the 7 churches in Asia. That's in verse number 4. So they are receiving this letter. What is a church? A church is not actually a building. That's simply a tabernacle or a place where we meet. But the church is rather the people of God. Those who have been saved by grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb. In fact, the church in the Greek means to be called out. And it is a called out people. They're called out of sin. They're called out of worldliness. They're called out of a life of Christ rejection. And they're called into fellowship with God. You see, we're not born into the church. No one in this world is born into the church. In fact, the Bible says we're born in sin. The Bible says all have sinned. The Bible says the soul that sinneth must die. And therefore, to be a member of the church, to be saved by the grace of God, to be sure of heaven, it's not attendance in a building, but rather it's repentance and faith before the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that his blood is able to save your soul. There is a need for cleansing because we are people of sin. Cleansed from our sins, my sin. Now, we can look across this world and say, that's a wicked act that man has done. That's a wicked law that country has passed. That is a wicked behavior that I see all around me. But the reality is, if you never ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, then you are a sinner. You're the sinner of whom the scripture speaks. And there's a need for the sinner to be cleansed from their sin for 2 reasons. First of all, because of what the sinner faces. And what does the sinner face? The sinner faces judgment. Judgment in their sin. They will stand before God as a sinner. And friend, you may not be ashamed of your sin right now. You may not regret your sin right now. You may not be troubled or convicted by your sin right now. But I can assure you, when you stand in the presence of God and you see the holiness of Christ gazing upon you as the judge of all the earth, then you will be ashamed. Then you will be convicted. Then you will call upon the rocks and the hills to fall on you and to kill you because you are afraid of the wrath of God. Hell awaits you. Hell awaits you. We hear some nonsense and absolute rubbish from people who really ought to know better. Well, I can't wait to get to hell with my friends and have a party. Read the word of God. There's no parties in hell. No parties in hell. Friend, if you're not saved, hell is an eternal reality for you. You're just a heartbeat away from the place of the damned. Outer darkness. Fire. Wailing. No satisfaction, no salvation, no respite. My friend, you need to be saved from your sin and cleansed from your sin because of what you face, but also because of what you will miss. And that is acceptance with God and heaven. My friend, being a Christian just doesn't mean going to heaven. It means being a Christian here and now. It means being accepted by God now and filled with the Spirit now. It means living for Christ now, knowing purpose of life, fulfillment in life, joy in life, peace in life, all the blessings that Christ has purchased. And not only that, it means when we close our eyes here, we will be in heaven. But we see here the need for cleansing. But look at verse number 5 again, and we will see the method of cleansing. In verse number 5, the method of cleansing. And it says there, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now we'll notice some lovely thoughts here. First of all, Christ alone can save the sinner. Those who are saved, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is attributed with the saving, and therefore he is the only one who can save the sinner.
And we'll notice something else. It is the love of God. The love of God that was a motivation to save us. Unto him that loved us. And friend, when it says he loved us, it doesn't stop there. He loved us and then he saved us. But it's his work that cleanses us from sin. Yes, it's the Lord alone can save. Yes, it's the love of God that was the motivation. But notice, it's his work alone. His own blood. And friend, his own blood can save you tonight. His own blood can cleanse you tonight from every sin. That record of sin, that heart that's dark with sin, that life that is completely filled with sin from the moment that you have known this world. Friend, you can be saved and your life can be cleansed and your heart can be transformed whenever you're washed in the blood. Why would a sinner reject the work of Christ? Why would a sinner reject the person of Christ? Why would a sinner reject the love of God? Why? I'll tell you why. Because they love their sin. That's why. They love their sin. Oh, they might dress it up. They might try and relabel it. They might praise it. But the reality is they're in love with sin. That which is wrong. That which will damn their soul in hell. Self and sin. The reality is, if you're not saved, you're rejecting Christ to obey and love your sin. If you're not saved tonight, you are rejecting Christ to obey and to love your sin and their consequences for that. But a Christian is someone who rejects their sin to obey and love Christ. Someone who rejects their sin to obey and to love Christ. Something that's interesting here is that it tells us in verse number six, he hath made us kings and priests unto God. And we have a royal priesthood. And friend, that means we have the privilege and the right to pray unto the Lord. Now, yes, we come in Jesus' name and his spirit maketh intercession for us. But we come before him and he hears us. And I would just like to remind you, as the people of God, that we do not need to be in a certain place to pray. And I know many people are grieved that they can't be in the house of God or in a church building to pray. But friend, being in a church building does not make your prayers heard any more by the Lord. Not at all. Friend, let's think and know what the scripture says. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood. And we're made priests unto God. And that means that at any place and at any time, we can lift our voices unto the Lord and he will hear us. Now, I can't wait until we're able to come back into this building. But friend, you can pray unto the Lord in your home as effectively as you can pray here. And we praise God for that and for the priesthood of all believers. We've seen the need for cleansing, the method of cleansing, and then the scope of cleansing. And in order to find what the scope of cleansing is, in other words, what exactly does that blood do? Well, we read there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7 at the end of the verse, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's a lovely chorus sometimes sing in the children's meeting. Rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. And then it says, every sin had to go. Neath the cleansing flow. Hallelujah. Rolled away, rolled away. And you know, some of those children's courses are so rich in doctrine and theology. And that's right. Every sin had to go. And you see, whenever a person is saved, then every sin is beneath the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. I love that statement in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10. And it says, ye are complete in him. Remember somebody once asking me many years ago. Well, say I become a Christian tonight. And then I live for a little while. And then someday I do something really bad. Or I say something really bad. And then all of a sudden I die. Where would I be? Am I completely forgiven? And the answer is yes. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for all of our sins. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, all of our sins were future sins, and they were dealt with there on Calvary. Now, when we as believers sin, we do grieve the Holy Ghost. We cause ourselves not to have that closeness with the Lord. We never lose our salvation. But we do realize that as we sin, there is a need for us to repent of that sin, say sorry for that sin, to ask the Lord to forgive us, that we might have that closer walk with him. My friend, once you're saved, you are eternally saved. You cannot lose your salvation, either by what you do or by what you do not do. And here's the question. Who indeed will be found in heaven? Who will be found in heaven? Well, the answer is in Revelation 7:14. These are they which, and then we go later on in the verse, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, it's precious blood. Yes, it's cleansing blood. But finally, and just briefly, we turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11. And we read here, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the end. That little statement, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. See, we read of the devil and his angels there in verse number 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We notice that there's none spared the attacks of the devil. The whole world has been affected. But there were those who overcame him. Now, some of the Bible commentators believe that, considering the fact that the description of those who overcame by the blood of the Lamb and loved not their lives unto death, it's very possible that's talking about those who were persecuted in the church and even martyred because of their faith. And the devil brought a great persecution and does bring great persecutions upon the church. And there are times when the people of God suffer, but they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. They're not defeated. They don't say, I give up. They don't lie down, but rather they are overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. And that's how we overcome any attack of the devil. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And the lesson from this is very simple. There is no victory over sin or Satan without Christ. There's no victory over sin or Satan without Christ. You see, the blood of Christ reminds us of Calvary. And not only there did he die for our sins, but he also on the cross purchased for us, by the shedding of his blood, everything that the believer needs to have a life of victory. The peace that I can enjoy today is because Christ has purchased it for me. The joy, the satisfaction, the wisdom, whatever it is that we need to be overcomers through him that loved us, he purchased on the cross. And that's why we can sing, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. You see, we might face persecution, and there will be persecution against the church and against your soul. And sometimes that persecution comes in various ways. And sometimes maybe an argument or something comes into a church and seeks to divide, instead of God's people being wise and realizing, but you know something? This is the devil coming to seek to divide and to destroy. They get jumped on one side or the other. And there's a division comes and the devil is prevailing. But praise God, we can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. We can overcome divisions by the blood of the Lamb. We can overcome arguments by the blood of the Lamb. We can overcome his attacks by the blood of the Lamb against your soul. The devil will bring temptation against your soul. You're tempted to do this, and it gets to the point where you feel there's nothing else you can do but just give in and get it over with. You can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood. In service, we need the blood and the power of God to enable us. You see, it says here, by the word of their testimony. And through the power of God, they had a testimony. There was a work that they were doing. There was a service that they were engaged in. And the hymn writer says, would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. And praise God, there's power for the believer to serve him Friend, don't try on your own strength, but remember he has purchased the power for you to serve him. Yes, we can get weary in the work, but thank God we're never weary of it, because it's a work unto him, it's a work through him, and it's a work for his glory. And then even in death, because it says here, they love not their lives unto the end. Friends, I thought about that. There's two types of death that we will experience. First of all, we need to die to sin. We need to die to sin. And dear believer, if there's a sin that has some victory over your life, there's power in the blood for deliverance. It might have you clasped and grasped and bowed, but praise God, you mention the blood. You claim the blood. You plead the blood. But thank God there's power in the blood to deliver you from that, and to die to self and live on to him. My friend, we will come to die. Unless the Lord comes again, of course, in our lifetime, we know not when he will come. But we will die. And therefore, I say to you, there's a way to die victoriously. Death is not a defeat for the child of God. That's not defeat. That's victory. That's promotion. That's glory. Oh, that will be glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. Be glory for me. Do you think any believer that enters heaven mourns because they've died? No. It's joy because they're alive. Eternally alive in Christ. The old Bible commentator Barnes said, the blood of Christ was that by which they were redeemed. And it was in the virtue of the efficacy of the atonement that they were enabled to achieve victory. Christ himself achieved the victory over Satan by his death. And it is in virtue of the victory which he achieved that we are now able to triumph over our greatest foe. We find actually there that he is the accuser of the brethren in verse number 10. He accused them before God day and night. And not only before God, but sometimes he comes to us. And the devil points to my failures and to my past. But listen to this. Dear Christian, listen to this. No matter how great the failure, no matter how dark the past, if you're saved, if you're truly saved, when the devil points to your past, when the devil points to your failure, when the devil points to your sin, you point them to the cross of Calvary and to the blood that was shed, and he has no answer and he must flee. The blood shed for sinners like me. Friends, tonight we thought about the precious blood, we thought about the cleansing blood, we thought about the enabling blood. J.C. Ryle, the great Bishop of Liverpool, he wrote these words: the blood of Christ can cleanse away all sin, but we must plead guilty before God can declare us as innocent. Friend, the blood is able to save you tonight. The blood is able to save every sin. But before you can be saved, you have to confess your need. Plead guilty. I'm the sinner. I need the cleansing. I need the power of the blood. I need the enabling of the blood. Praise God, the blood has been shed. The work has been completed, and all that's left for the sinner to do, you tonight, is to say, Lord, I'm coming as a sinner. I'm coming now to thee. Wash me. Cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Friend, tonight, praise the Lord. He will hear your cry. The blood will be applied, and you will be a child of God. And nothing else in this world matters. Nothing else matters at all. For someday, we have to leave this scene of time. God will come, or he will call. But you have to be ready. We read in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. A friend, no matter how many days you've lived on this earth, we do not know and are not guaranteed one more.
But thank God tonight you can know for sure that you're saved. Don't let friends hold you back. Don't let family hold you back. Don't let sin hold you back. Don't let Satan hold your soul until it's in hell. But call now on the Lord to save you. If I can be of any help to you spiritually, please do get in touch. If you got saved or come back to the Lord, please do let us know. We'd love to send you some literature to help you. Friend, tonight, get on your knees and call upon him. Dear believer, will you pray for the unsaved that have been listening to the message? Will you take time just now to pray that the Lord will work in their heart? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we do praise and worship thee for the privilege that we have to preach the word of God. Lord, we've been in holy ground tonight because we've been on the place of the blood. We thank thee, Lord, for its power. We thank thee, Lord, it's precious. We thank you, Lord, it's cleansing. We thank you, Lord, it's enabling. We thank you, Lord, it's the very lifeline to the soul of each believer. And therefore, I thank thee, Lord, for the blood shed on the cross of Calvary for sinners like me. Lord, did we deserve it? No. Did we merit it? No. But we read that he loved us and he died to save us. And therefore, Lord, we humbly bow before thee and thank thee and worship thee and praise thee, realizing that someday we will enter glory and we will be able to sing eternally about the one who loved us and washed us in his own blood. That dear believer, encourage them tonight. For those who are not saved, save them. Lord, we pray you'll bless us. In Jesus' name, may the glory be to thee and thee alone. For Christ's sake. Amen.